Howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 514, Complex Flavors. Hey, I want to say you're in my prayers, all you folks in wildfire country, Spokane, Oregon, Montana. Hey, it's boy, this thing is the new norm. I hate that phrase, but man, crispy critters out there burning up. Scary stuff. So stay safe. Please stay safe. And if you are tuning in, I'm grateful for a little bit of your time with all that you have going on in your world right this moment. This episode of the Moose Podcast is being recorded with Adobe Podcast AI beta still continuously. Been doing it for quite a while. I didn't even look at the It gives you a number of minutes recorded every time you log in. It's coming up to 3,000 minutes, which that's a lot. Hopefully it's making me sound a little bit better, but it does produce a transcript, which you will find there on the blog post for the podcast on the website, as well as links for what I'm talking about and photo from reference from the podcast. But of course, you can listen to the podcast anywhere. iTunes, Amazon, YouTube, Spotify, and I invite you to leave comments wherever you can when you need to. I'm here to have a conversation, try to help you move your photography forward. I know it's, what do they call it, the dog days of summer, where last couple of weeks or week before school starts, so you're spending time with the family, which is really better than listening to a podcast, I'll be honest with you, but I do appreciate you having the time to listen. And if you have questions, I'm here to help any way that I can. Want to thank my good friends at Bedford. Bedfords.com. Those guys, they rock. Now, there's a bunch of manufacturers doing these big trade-up, trade-in things right now, and Bedford's is right in the middle of it. They've got a ton of great stuff if you're trading up. And remember, had a friend just do it, and at the end, they mentioned the old Moose, and they can't believe they actually got 5% back after they checked out above everything else they had done. It's, you know, the economics work just amazingly well. But, you know, it's Bedford's is so much more. They've got those great folks, great prices, killer inventory. And the thing is that they're there to help you any way you can. They can. We need all the help we can get. Bedford's is really a marvelous place for that. So I want to thank my good friend Bedford's for taking care of our photographic community, sponsoring the Moose Podcast. And whether you give them a phone call, click on the web, go in person, just remember to mention me after you buy that certain product and you will see money back. Thank you, Bedford's, for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. So I had a marvelous time on our Montana Western adventure. Really nice folks, some really great shooting, and there's some really good food. Yeah, I know, surprising, huh? Food's important. Yeah, good food's really important. And we went to this place that was a pop-up restaurant. And being me, I had no clue what that was all about. One of the folks with us, really a nice guy, Chuck, who is really smart, has a giant heart, and is from New York, was kind enough to explain to me this pop-up restaurant concept. And I was trying to figure out the backside, you know, food prep, dishes, when you're only in business for 2 days a week. Anyway, food came out, really good food, really good food. And Chuck said, oh, it's good. It's got complex flavors. And it was just a piece of fish with some shaved potatoes on top. And I'm like, in my own mind going, wait, it's just a white fish with shaved potatoes. How can that have complex flavors? So we gave him a bad time, of course, because he the way he presented the word complex flavors for a piece of white fish. But I tell you, it got me to thinking, especially as I was finishing some of the photographs from the week. And once again, I did the usual, you could say, stuck my foot in my mouth, or I put on public display my ignorance by giving him and making reference to that comment, complex flavors. But it got the mind to spinning. And when it comes to photography, I find getting the mind spinning often engages the heart, and the outcome is a better photograph. So complex flavors. When we go and put that camera to our eye, there's a lot going on. I mean, if you are really serious about it and wise, you've done some things. For example, you have put in Adobe color rather than RGB color. So you're getting every little juicy pixel out of that sensor. You're taking time to set the white balance and knowing how that affects not only the quality of the image, but the story you want to tell, what's coming from your heart, which of course also has to include the f-stop. So you're telling the eye where you want it to look before it makes the journey through your photograph, as well as the exposure. And if you think about all that, and then you got a lens, you got where you're going to place your feet, you're putting a whole lot of seasoning into that final dish, right? You're putting all those techniques into that photograph. You are what? You are doing complex flavors. But here's the thing. When someone looks at that photograph, they're not going to know any of that. They're not going to know that any of those settings, and those settings really are irrelevant. Settings are so irrelevant, completely irrelevant, unless you're teaching a class on photography. You're visually storytelling, so the numbers just get in the way. People won't know all that you put into that. They're just going to look at that photograph and say, yeah, there you go. Complex flavors. Yeah, I took a while to think about it. And the whole thing about complex flavors is that you have taken a whole lot of flavors and you have expertly melded them together to come up with one taste, which, when you think about it, that's hard shit to do. I mean, that's really, you think about it, because you could put a little bit too much of that seasoning or a little bit this too much of this cook, and there's a lot of things you could do, and all of a sudden you've got burnt mush, right? Photographically, you could have a crappy photo. And has that ever happened? It has to me. And when I go back to look, I'm going to say probably 9 times out of 10, it's because I, the photographer, have not put those seasonings together correctly. The settings, the emotions, the elements in the frame, to come up with a photograph that just smacks the viewer between the eyes. So case in point, it was our last morning, and we are at Fort Shaw, just outside Fort Shaw, Montana. And we had smoke. We had hot temperatures, and we had none of the thunderclouds, the lightning that is so typical for the Great Falls region of Montana in August. I mean, a year ago, Great Falls, the city had was flooded because of so much torrential downpour. They haven't had a drop for weeks. So we're out there, sunrise. And it's a beautiful topography out there. It's very simplistic, very simplistic. And it's the West. It's the land that Lewis and Clark explored. And there is very little sign of humanity out there. So we go up this road, and cattle kind of talking to one of the participants, and birds are starting to wake up. There's a slight chill because it is early morning. sun's way off on the horizon. And looking to the west, I see this one single, pretty flat, real flat cloud. And it's that moment of the morning where the sun just kind of glances off this and that molecule overhead. And you look in the opposite direction, you get that beautiful purple, magenta, ruby kind of glow. And in that is one little white dot, boink, the moon, which is almost full. Somebody looked it up, I think it was like 98%. And I looked at that and I go, wow, what a simple celebration of the West in the morning. Put the Z8 with the 24 to 70, I think it was 24 to 70. Nope, I take it back. Yes, it was 24-70 f/2.82, wide open. As soon as I turn the camera on, it's focused at infinity, so I know the moon's going to be sharp. Dial in minus a stop. Go click, 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 and then go back on to shooting other things. And I kept looking at it, and I shot it a couple different ways without the moon. The moon got lower, kept waiting for the moon to get lower. But then I started losing that beautiful magenta, purple, rosy, ruby kind of glow to it. And it wasn't the same. And that's when the thought in my mind clicked. Now, one of the things that I have a mantra. I've had it for many years. I share it with people, and I've shared it on the podcast. And shoot for the subject, finish for the light. You know, it's such a simple thing to say, but in practice, at least for myself, I find that when I'm shooting for that subject, I'm thinking about how I'm going to finish that light, which helps me arrange the elements in the viewfinder to help me finish at the computer. So they're very much wed together. They're not separate entities. That's why I think photomechanic is so important, because it shows me a preview of the raw file plus the instruction set and makes a thumbnail on the fly as it uploads and creates the light table. So I can see right then what I was thinking and feeling when I took the shot. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. It's as accurate a representation as I put into the settings in the camera. Bring me back to Compex Favors. So in this case, with this particular photograph, to bring out that beautiful purple, magenta, ruby glow, you know, that's in that morning that lasts just for a heartbeat. You know, if you're in the top of the Sierras, they call it alpenglow, which is the way that the light bounces for a brief time. First thing, the white balance. And the white balance in this case had been set to 10,000 because I was shooting right at the sun to the east. But when I turn around 180 shoot west, that wasn't applicable. I had to instantly go back down. I shot at 8,000 Kelvin. I manually dialed in that number. How did I know that number? Been doing it for a while. I've made tons of mistakes, and I've learned from those mistakes. So I put in 8,000 manually. And then I'm looking at that and I go, okay, I know the range of light is going to be at least 7-8 stops, right? And the camera can only hold 5, so what's going to go away? Detail the moon. I don't want that. So I dial in 1-1. That gives me even juicier colors, because underexposure really just saturate color right in the camera. I don't have to do it in post. It's a cleaner file that way. I got more of that moon information. I know I have enough now so that when I go back into Adobe Camera Raw, I can click mask object, go up to the moon, select just the moon, nothing else, so I don't have that dark ring around it. And I can pull down the man of the moon, the rabbit, whatever you want to call it. And then at the same time, I know that when I click the noise, I'm going to have even more detail in that file. So that little itty bitty sliver of a cloud is now going to have more of an impact visually. And lastly, I know that when I bring it into Photoshop and I just go into Nick. Yes, I still use and love Nick. And by the way, you do get a discount if you use my name, okay, when you go buy it. Anyway, click on Pro Tone, Pro Contrast, need the formula, head to my website, it's there for free. And the boom, the photograph is done. And I do all that when I take the picture. Complex flavors. And after you put all that together from the correct color space and white balance and aperture and lens and where you're standing and exposure and raw finishing and nick, all those complex flavors, what do they meld into? One very simple photograph. So yeah, that cooking analogy. Another one that kind of works really well for photography. So keep in mind that there's a lot to master, a lot of things to learn to come up with that simple bite, that simple photograph. It's a lot of complex flavors. You folks have an absolutely marvelous week. I will be in Denver the beginning of September, less than a month away. I'm going to be talking about my light adventures. I hope you come by. In the meantime, get out there and shoot. And remember to make every click your story.